Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Welcome to What's Next. This is a podcast where we talk about all the things that are current in the world right now. We dissect issues and then we give our hopes for the future and a few predictions as well.
Hi, I'm Lara Pradelska. I am normally in normal life, in real life. I'm an actress, a voiceover artist, a broadcaster, and I am now a podcaster as well.
I'm Lara Fraser. I am a DJ. I'm a producer and radio host. And our first series was actually together under the Lalas. And in this series, we have a really exciting guest host, and she is the guru of all things health.
Thank you, girls. Yeah. I'm Sarah Malindwa. I'm a TV presenter and a qualified nurse. And I also work in the fashion industry as a stylist and fashion editor.
It's so nice that we're all here in this room together because, you know, recording in the studio has only really just come back.
First of all, I want to do a check-in. How is everybody? Sarah?
Good. Like you said, Lara, it's so good to just be working away from home for a change and being in a studio and actually physically seeing people. So it's been a long time. So, yeah, it's so nice to get out of the house. Yeah, I've made it through the year.
I wanted to check in because you were on the front line and we had you on our last podcast. And that was one of the episodes that I have to say people just kept, and myself, kept re-listening to. And just for a little bit of context, you were, in fact, on the front line. You were working at a hospital. Can you give us a little bit of background of what happened to you last year?
Yeah, so I, like I said, I'm a qualified nurse. I've been a nurse for like 14 years now. And I used to work in acute medicine, so in a hospital setting as a ward nurse. And I specialise in sexual health and HIV, which is completely different to working in a hospital. It's a specialist area. So in terms of looking after sick people, it'd been a long time. And then, so about 9 years since I left the hospital. And then when coronavirus hit, as you guys remember from like last March, like over a year ago now, there was a call for nurses to help out on the front line just because a lot of nurses had gone off sick with the virus. And there was a lot, you know, the NHS was basically on its knees. And all my work in fashion and TV and all of that had stopped, like everybody else's. So I thought to myself, instead of sort of staying at home in lockdown, let me actually just help out. And, you know, it's kind of like a call. It's almost like a duty of care that you have as a nurse. Like, you never stop being a nurse, no matter what, you know, whatever careers I've sort of gone outside of that, I'm always a nurse. And so when it was needed, I thought, okay, I'll go back to the hospital. Crazy now to think about it, because it feels like a long time ago. Because everything happens so quickly and you don't really get a chance to catch your breath. And I remember doing an interview with you guys, like you said, Lara. Yes. And that was one of the best interviews I'd done, because you guys were just checking on me. And it'd been a long time since I actually like verbalize how I felt, how it was. So just having that outlet and talking to you girls about it, that was one of my favorite interviews
I
did. Yeah, it was very therapeutic for me.
What I would love to talk about really right now is trauma. And I think all three of us at the table have had our experience with trauma. Trauma is a big thing at the moment, whether it's big childhood trauma or whether it's trauma from lockdown. And maybe we could go around the room, talk a little bit about how trauma affects us. What about you, Lara?
Well, I kind of wanted to introduce something else with that as well, because I think for me, one of the things when discussing trauma in a lot of these conversations, there are certain words around it that brush over the meaning. And one of the ones that has been coming up for me at the moment is triggers. Mm-hmm. So for me, a trigger is so directly associated with trauma, right? That when you have a conversation saying, I know you're triggered, but, it means that there is some type of rationality around it. Mm. But when something signifies you back to a place of trauma, right? So say if the color red, for example, triggers your trauma, then you can't rationalize that. You can't say, I know you're triggered, but... Because there's no conversation around it. It's something that has taken you to a place of deep trauma. And I think one of the things that we intrinsically have within us, you know, most people that have lived full lives, and, you know, there's obviously post-generational traumas and that sort of things, it's embedded in us and we don't know when it's going to come up.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if we want to get specific, we are going through strange times at the moment. We've had the BLM movement. We're currently in a Middle East conflict that Lara and I are affected by deeply because of our heritage. And there is that generational trauma. And obviously, pictures will trigger, opinions will trigger. And I wanted to maybe think about what it is that word trigger. It's often misused, isn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
Isn't there this... Listen, I can get triggered by anything. I just want to put it out there.
Yeah, which is why it makes it flippant sometimes. Because
right.
when people say trigger, they're not actually talking about a trauma trigger.
No, you know, more of an emotional.
If you look at like Gene Aoki's song Triggered,
yeah.
it makes this bitterness or something. Yes. Oh, you're being bitchy, you're bitter about something, you're triggered yes. by this. And it's
actually a serious word that has...
It's a serious word.
I mean, for example, you could see somebody that looks like your ex-boyfriend and your ex-boyfriend maybe cheated on you and that could be a trigger, but that's not something you can't sort of compare. Yeah, that could trigger you because then it can sort of bring you back to negative feelings. But then when you're talking about, like you said, generational trauma and things that are so deep-rooted in our history and in our culture and how they affect us, then it's a different ball game. So like you said, it's a word that is sort of being misused a lot because a trigger is something that does bring you to something traumatic.
I feel like also now that we're using those words, I can bring something in called gaslighting, which is a term that I've only become familiar with in the last probably 2 years.
Yeah.
And now that I have been familiar with it, I recognize it
so much
in my life.
Obvious now.
So obvious. Mm. And that really does tie in for me with trigger as well, because I'm getting a lot of messages, for instance, on my wall going, well, I'm sorry this triggers you, however, you need to consider. Mm. And that goes into a gaslighting element for
absolutely.
Me. Because don't try and change my reality and my worldview. What do you guys think?
Well, I think in that specific instance, how I understand it is that someone's saying that they see your point of view, so they seem reasonable, but then go in with something else. And that's gaslit you into thinking, oh, they're actually a reasonable person. Why am I not resonating with what they're saying after that? That kind of thing.
Yes.
But I kind of came up with a term for all of these words, and I'm calling them woke words.
Yes.
Because these are the words that
are you claiming ownership over woke words?
Isn't it a thing?
No, I don't think it is.
Because I'm actually going to claim ownership on this because woke words.
www.wokewords.
No, for real though, because woke words to me are the words that people think they should be using to seem like they know what they're talking about.
Right.
So they'll just be chucking them in. And I'm so thankful for some of these words that are actually claiming behaviors so that people are understanding them. I think these words that were not there before create an understanding to things that people were feeling. So I'm so thankful for these words. Mm-hmm. But when they become trending words, when they become the words that it's like, well, you know, I said gaslighting, I said, you know, whatever the word of the moment is, so I must understand everything that's going on in this conversation, it negates people from actually talking about what these words...
The issue at hand.
Yeah, the issue at hand.
Yeah.
So let's maybe go around the table and talk about what triggers us. How about that? And it doesn't have to be negative. Just three things that trigger you and why they trigger you. Shall I start or can you start?
I think Lara should start.
I should start. Yes. Now that I brought up this game.
I know. Because this is a big, big topic.
What triggers me? So obviously this podcast is being recorded and it will be released very soon. So it's going to be right on time. What triggers me is unresearched opinions, and that includes myself. So sometimes, and I'm taking full ownership of that, there may be times when I'm not educated enough about a topic, and yet I get into a discussion and I haven't researched it enough as I should, and it triggers me, it makes me insecure, and it also angers me when other people do it. So I'm going to take a little bit of, oh, hello, that's my dog.
Hello, Billy. I love that you've acknowledged both sides of that, because sometimes we are angered by the things that we do ourselves, you know?
Yes, and it angers me, and so I would call that a trigger. Another trigger for me is really, I just keep coming back to it, it's ghosting. Ghosting is a hard one. And again, I've done it also. So I'm again, taking somewhat of an ownership. I haven't done it in a long time, and I'm not planning on ever doing it again. But ghosting is a bad one for me. It's one that, it happens in all kinds of ways. And I'm not even going into the big friendship, relationship, ghosting. Just an email that you send that you never ever get a reply is a sort of a ghosting, and it's a disrespectful thing. And yeah, I'd like to leave that in 2020 if that's possible. And a third one, a trigger for me, I think the biggest trigger of all is just people being rude. That makes me also be rude. It makes me sad, it makes me upset, and it brings out a side in me that I don't like.
So on the last one, Lolly, what is the type of rudeness that triggers you? Because I feel like rude is a really broad banner. Yeah. Is there a certain thing that someone can do
so
that really
just... So
this
morning I went to the news agent.
I think there would be a story behind this.
Everyday things.
This morning I went to the news agent that I'm going to openly say on this podcast I had been banned to go to... Oh, even my doggy is...
all riled
even
up.
Even Billie Jean's
all
riled impressed up. By the, yeah.
This
the
morning
agent.
I went to the news agent.
Yeah, he doesn't like the news agent.
He doesn't like the news agent.
No, to be fair, neither do I.
So this morning I went to the news agents, and the news agents is a triggering place for me because I have actually been banned from them for 2 years. I was banned, not because of anything I've done bad, like as in stolen something, but the owner of the news agents and I, we were not.
I have to laugh right now. I'm
I want to know why.
I'm just sorry.
You don't get along with them either.
No, I don't. But for years, I had to go in and do the printing. Yes.
I was not allowed in there. I literally had to wait outside. Yeah. And I don't really know what happened, but one day I just walked in, and I guess we're okay now. Well, we were until this morning when I had to really badly scan something. And of course, I don't know, does anyone have a printer that ever works? Because we're on
I don't even have one.
Right, there you go. Yeah. So it didn't work. And something needed to be scanned. It needed to be done quickly, right away, because as you know, people need things
done.
Yeah, 5 minutes ago. So I went in, and I'm a bit teary at the moment. It's just that, you know, it's just that time right now. So he looks at me, he's like, oh you look terrible.
Man is so cheeky. He is so cheeky.
I know, I'm really stressed out. He's like, no, I mean terrible. And then he goes, I won't say the name, he goes, XX, and that's his friend or his partner. Doesn't she look terrible today?
Oh, no.
Oh my goodness.
So I went, no, I know. I'm just not feeling very well. He's like, no, I can tell. I'm like, can I just get the schedule? He's like, calm down.
Here's
the thing in the history of telling women to calm down. Yeah. How many women have calmed down, Sarah?
None.
Okay, thank
you. That's like the quickest way to get us to just turn it
exactly. up. Exactly. Yeah. So of course I didn't calm down.
No.
And of course it's 7:30 a.m., and it's the only place open. So I didn't get my scanning. I didn't get my printing. And I am thus again banned. Sorry.
On that, can I just say, he also reads my things when he prints them out. And I find it incredibly rude. So every time when we used to print out our radio scripts, because we're old school, we like it in front of us on paper, he would go, oh, this is interesting. What are you doing? Like, what station are you? I'm like, you're not supposed to read it.
No.
Is that not a thing? Like, when you're getting something printed out, the person is not supposed to read
it. No, it could be a confidential document. He doesn't know that.
Yeah, but either way, so yeah, those are my three triggers. Sarah, not to put you on the spot,
Yeah, what riles you up?
What riles me up?
Oh. What triggers you? What do you recognize in yourself that, you know, whatever it is, whatever the word means to you?
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think.
The woke word.
I think like this past year, it feels like every week, every month is something new. There's always like you get over one thing and you're not even over it, and then something else happens. So for me, I find like conversations around race, I think for me, that's always a massive trigger. Mm. Have you guys heard of this show? I think it's Leanne Pinnock from Little Mix who did this documentary about race.
And I haven't seen it. I've seen snippets of it. What she was talking about looks incredibly interesting.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. And I'm so glad that that these conversations are being had and like they're given the platform. But I made a conscious decision about a year ago not to watch anything that to do with race, because I mean, it's one thing to live it, and I mean, I saw clips of it, like you said as well. And I could relate to what they were saying.
Do you want us to talk about a little bit what they were saying, just for context, international viewers?
For international viewers, So it's a documentary that discusses about race, inequality and power sort of within the music industry, and how particularly black women are sort of either held back or sort of perceived as bullies and sort of these kind of things, and how they get treated a lot differently to their white counterparts. Mm-hmm. And so there were clips from different black singers. So I think it was like Alexandra Burke and Keisha from Sugar Babes and who else was it? A couple of other sort of musicians. And so for me, race and talking about things like that, I think it's great, and I'm glad that documentaries get made. But I think for me personally, I don't like watching. I've made a conscious decision not to watch things around race and everything, because it's triggering. And you know, experiencing it is one thing, but then having to listen to other people's trauma, like I could, you know, I've not watched that documentary. I'm probably not because I think it's a bad. I think it's great, and I think it's good that it's being done. But I'm not going to learn anything new because I live that experience. And so for me, watching it is something that's just going to negatively affect me in a way, and for me that's a trigger. So, and I'd say that's probably one of the biggest triggers.
But well done for finding that self-care that
and I think there's so many, like, especially on Netflix, they have like a Black Lives Matter sort of series, and it talks about all these different things, and I think it is great. But at the same time, I think there's so much. I mean, you can go on Netflix and watch loads of like documentaries about people who have been like wrongfully convicted and all these kind of stories that you can watch, and at some point it's too personal in a way, and you think, because you know these things happen, and you feel like it's just a trigger.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. You know, so I just,
it's hard, because like some people will pressure you when you're in a situation to be knowledgeable about everything that's going on.
And to talk about everything that happens.
The onus is on you.
Yeah.
And it's like Lars said, well done that you can put those barriers up, because that's actually quite a hard thing to do, I think.
Absolutely. Let me see. Do you know what a new trigger is for me now? And this is probably going to make me sound like a shit friend, but this is like literally in the last like couple of months, and I think it's because of like lockdown and stuff, but like all my friends are either like pregnant or engaged or like getting married. And I'm happy for everybody, don't get me wrong. And for the first time, like, I've been single for a long time, but I've always been like super busy. I've always had things. So for me, I've always thought, I've never been one of these girls who like dreams of getting married and like having a family.
Sure.
And so like this year, that's kind of changed.
It's
Right? And now I'm thinking, oh my God, maybe I should like think about settling down. And then like last year I had like two really shit experiences with guys. Like, one of them ghosted me, asshole. But anyway, that's another story. So that's another story. But that triggered me, because I think, like, if you've ever experienced rejection in any way and then somebody then does that, you can't help but think, well, what's wrong with me? Like, how come everyone else is, like, having their happy ever after? And you can't help but think that. So I think for me, that's, like, a new trigger where I'm thinking, I don't know, because I just turned 36 as well. So I think just having a birthday as well, sort of. And then obviously we're women, so I'm thinking, do my eggs even work now? And then you start thinking, but then at the same time, I'm like, but I've never like attempted to like settle down or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's not been a priority. So at the same time, I have to like think about it logistically and think, okay, well, this is a new thing. Like, so it's not gonna like, I'm not gonna get married tomorrow. But
thanks,
yeah, so that's
being
like
open
a,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, like, it's like, yeah, you start thinking, oh, maybe I've left it too late, or maybe I've, you know. Yeah, I don't, and for me, this yeah. turned into a trigger, and I've never even thought of that before.
It's really
so that's an interesting one.
Should
for
also
me.
Be kind of noted, I suppose, that you know whatever we see on social media, as we all know, doesn't necessarily.
No, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Lars, should we go to you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, okay. So my triggers. The first one I'm going to do is not that deep, but it just annoys me, and I don't know why. It really gets under my skin. Maybe it's because I have resting bitch face, but like, and resting bitch face is my natural face in my natural format looks unhappy, right?
I could not agree less.
It does not mean that I, like, if you catch me just like this, I'm not like, my eyes don't smile, okay?
Right. Oh, babe.
So I always get people coming up to me going, you're too pretty to frown, or why aren't you smiling? And first of all, ugly people should be unhappy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Hold that. And also, why do I have to be happy all the time? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think in our industry as well, like it goes a little bit deeper that, you know, presenting and doing anything media facing, you do have to be happy and there's an on switch. But when you're in your own time, I really want to switch that switch off. And I want to be grumpy sometimes.
Yeah.
And like I can be a little bit moody. So, yes. Let me frown.
Yeah.
Let me be in my feelings when I want to. And so that's like a little bit of, it's a bit of a superficial trigger.
I don't think it's superficial at all. I actually think quite the opposite. First of all, as your best friend, I know very well that you are the least bitchiest girl on
right?
the planet.
Yeah.
The least. And it really fucks me off. This is our podcast,
yes.
therefore I can say fuck.
Yes.
It fucks me off when people say, and they don't say this often,
they
you
do
know.
Sometimes.
No, they don't. But it's like, is she mad at me because she was. No, she's just doing her
that's
own thing
best.
For a second. It's not about you at all.
Yeah.
It's, do you see what I mean?
Yeah. And there's also like a secondary thing where it's like, oh, when a certain people look a certain way or do a certain thing, that their character has to be a certain way as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So do you guys find as well, like, you know, obviously we're all presenters for radio or whatever like that, and that comes with a traditional bubbliness to it. So, you know, when you're not performing in that kind of way, there's almost this, oh, okay. Is she even like, is she even who she says she is?
Yeah.
Like, well, is she even who she says she is? Like, kind of thing.
I know.
Because they've applied this character to you and it's incredibly frustrating.
That's the thing about social media, isn't it? Is you can go through someone's feed and sort of subconsciously, you're not even consciously doing it, but you can just sort of decide who somebody is based on
completely
like their
agree.
Feed. Yeah. And it's, God, I've had it so many times where people are like, oh my God, you're so nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's another thing. When they meet you and they go, oh my God, you're so much nicer than I thought you were, would be. I'm like, oh, that is not a compliment.
Yeah.
I very often get, your photos don't do you justice.
I know. I know.
Which I find really, and I like
but
a filter.
That's a good thing because you'd
know.
Rather look better in person than in pictures.
Well,
I don't.
I'm not sure because that may have not come across the way I wanted it to. It's not as a compliment.
It doesn't feel like a compliment.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
sorry,
yeah,
I may have
like
said
it.
This the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a backhanded,
backhanded
one.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't need to use all these filters. Like, you're okay.
Oh,
it's,
see,
it's more that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to you, Lars.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, back to me.
Back
fancy
to you.
That. No, so my second one, and it kind of touches on Sarah's one, and it normally happens when you go to a family gathering or you catch up with friends that you haven't seen in a while. And if you are single at the time, the first thing they want to do is set you up.
Oh, gosh.
And did I ask to be set up? And, you know, I went back to Australia. And sorry.
Really
sorry, mum. Sorry, dad. And hopefully the person is not listening. But we're going to.
You know, hopefully he is.
No. We're going to have to spill some tea here.
Let's spill the tea.
Let's spill all of the tea. I get home and Papa Fraser was on a mission. Papa Fraser was on a mission, right? He was like, "La, we're going to set you up with a good Jewish doctor.
I was gonna say.
And you're going to get married and stay in Australia," was the agenda that was going on. But he must have gone and discussed this with his best friend, right? Who has then gone to the larger community, and I'm sure they had a little... They had a little basic lineup of the people. And I've sat down for the first conversation and I'm like, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. I was actually dating someone anyway back here.
Yeah.
But I hadn't told my parents yet.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God, just leave me alone. But
also, it's totally okay not to want to
exactly,
be, right?
Even if I wasn't. And that's another triggering thing. If I wasn't, you know, there's a societal pressure being at a certain age that there's this rush, rush, rush. You need to be in a relationship so that you can have kids and so that you can get married. And that might not be in the plans for some people, you know.
That's really interesting that you say that. Because it's actually really unfair. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
On anyone, because it's just never really good enough, is it? Even when you're engaged, when you guys getting married, when you're married, when you're having a kid, why you're not
when you're having the next kid.
When you're having your next kid. Wait, you have three kids? That's a bit ridiculous. What do you go? How are you going to pay for it? Is it ever ending?
Yeah.
And the onus is always on the female.
I was about to say,
a guy of my age, you know, will not. No one's questioning when he's having kids. So anyway, I thought it was being put to bed. And then I start receiving Facebook messages from certain gentlemen. And they're like mentioning my dad's best friend's name as well. And I'm like, oh my God, Dad, you've set me up. So I've just left it.
Yeah.
I've left it. And then my dad goes, has a gentleman messaged you on Facebook? I am like, oh my God. But, you know, it's all out of love.
Yeah, of course.
It's all out of love. But I think that as women, we do feel these pressures. And it can trigger women if your first question is, do you have a boyfriend? Mm. Do you have a kid?
Mm.
You know, because that's putting the self-worth of her in her relationship status or her, you know.
And I find it really hard. I mean, I think without giving too much away about my age, but I want to say that when you're a certain age, there's often a reason you don't have a kid.
Absolutely.
And very seldom that reason is that you don't want a kid.
Mm.
I'm sorry to say that.
No, of course.
And I've spoken to a lot of women about that.
Mm.
So I think people need to just be a little calmer.
A little calmer.
And a little bit understanding that if you're married and you're clearly... loving.
That it actually isn't a table fronting topic. Actually, these are personal matters. I wouldn't go and start talking about your genitals on the table.
Right.
That's personal.
Yeah, that's personal.
You know, so like, no, this is not a like light topic for a lot of people. So I think it should be taken off the dinner conversation.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on this. I mean, it's interesting how both of you said similar things with regards to, you know, you're both 30, I'm a little bit older. But for me, I think even when I was... I met my husband when I was 30 and I was already considered very old at the time, to be meeting my husband.
Crazy.
And I was like, well, you know, any of the guys I have dated before, I'm not sure where I would be today, but let's just say it would not be good. Also, I feel like often marriages have a bit better chance sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So I want to tie this all back in because we've kind of said where we're at now with all of these different situations.
Yeah.
And this is the What's Next podcast.
Yeah.
So we're talking about moving forward. And part of this is we both wanted to see ways forward, practical ways, things that can be positive to bring out of any of these situations. So I kind of wanted to go around the table and if we can imagine kind of alternate scenarios or ways forward for any of the things that are triggering us. Lau, take the microphone.
Ooh, no pressure. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think the change starts within, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be the change. And maybe for this week or for this month, I will word things a little bit differently because it's interesting to be at a table with you two and to hear. And I am actually very guilty of trying to set people up often or wanting to, because I think, you know, that's what everybody wants, right? Mm. So going forward, I may reconsider that. And maybe
I don't think it's a bad thing to set people
but
up.
But it might be good to ask.
To ask first,
to ask,
not give a number and say.
Exactly. And to say, hey, instead of, oh God, you think, no, which I don't actually say that, but, no. but just to be a little bit
see
more mindful.
See if it's
mindful.
Something they want.
They want, exactly. Yeah. So thank you for that. That is, and also I will take your advice on switching off, especially for me right now with the Middle East conflict. And that doesn't mean I don't care at all, but I think I need to have, I need to look after myself a little bit better. Yeah. And something really resonated, I realized something when you said Netflix earlier, because maybe a lot of these shows are meant for people like myself. Mm. Maybe I'm meant to be learning about your culture. Mm. Maybe that's far more important than I watch Lily and Pinner, because you've lived it. Okay?
Yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
Right, so I'm going to be doing that. Mm. I'm going to actually sit down and watch about other cultures instead of ruminating about what's happening in mine all the time, educate myself more about others, and also take the pressure off myself at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, I love that. That was beautiful. What about you?
Yeah, so I think the same. And, like, I've been sort of proactive in, like, because, yeah, like, you know, you just do have to put yourself first at some point. So I, like I said, I actively just don't engage, like, watch things that I know are just going to make me, like, upset or angry and just bring out negative emotion. But at the same time, there's a responsibility and for my community. So for me, I try to find ways of being positive in what I do, even just taking up space as a Black woman on TV or doing things about health. And I continue to, like, sort of push boundaries and try to use my platform to... And I get a lot of, like, young Black girls, like, you know, messaging me saying, oh, I saw you in the newspaper, I saw you on TV. And for me, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. We're so happy to have you,
but
honestly.
All girls, not even just Black girls, but even just as a woman, just, you know, taking up space and showing that, yeah, you know what, you can do, you can be on social media and like, be into fashion and all that, but you can also talk about different things. And, you know, we live in a generation where we have a lot more opportunities than our mothers did, you know, our grandmothers did. So as women,
gorgeous.
And so we have this pressure where people want to say, oh, when are you getting married, when are you having kids? But, you know, we also, yeah, we might want to do that, but we also have dreams and aspirations and things we want to achieve with our lives. I mean, Naomi Campbell just had a baby at 50.
But, you know,
times are changing. I love it.
Times are
changing.
I'm crying because
times
this has made me
changing.
So happy when I saw that today.
I know, same. I've got 15 years. I'm good.
I thought a little bit less, a few years less, but yeah, you know, a solid 10. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was thinking...
Fabulous, you know, and she's
the,
a mum.
And the photo with the feet.
I know. And, you know,
sorry, like,
No,
I feel like I've gone off. But
it's
like,
beautiful.
The world has changed so much, but our ideas and what we expect from each other hasn't so much. Like, now we live a lot longer. So going back to health, you know, our life expectancy is a lot higher than it would be. It's like 85 now is like the average life expectancy. Whereas 20 years ago, it would have been like 65. So we're a lot healthier. We eat better. We work out more. We're conscious about the planet. A lot of people are now like vegan and vegetarian. So even what we feed our body, we live a lot longer. So it's fine to have a baby in your 40s as a woman.
Yeah.
Like, and there's so many different ways. You can do surrogacy. You can adopt. Like, there's so many different avenues, so it's about like finding sort of what works for you. So sorry, I've lost.
That's really interesting.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. That's what's next.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
For sure. I think on the topics that I was discussing, I think instead of getting annoyed by something and being silent about it, explaining where you're coming from is so important,
right?
Because people aren't mind readers.
No.
So whether it is about the dating thing, about the smiling thing, or whatever it is, saying, okay, that's making me feel this type of way. And I think having those really honest, raw conversations with people that let them know your perspective of it, because I think sometimes we get angry with people and they don't know they've done anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And so you sit there and you can be seething over it, and then they're not mind readers, right?
Yeah.
They've made you feel a certain way. You say, okay, cool. Can you not say that to me? Because it makes me feel like crap.
Such a good point.
Yeah.
So I think what's next in the way I see it is just calm, explanatory conversations with people if you're feeling a type of way.
Yeah. Love that.
And also, everyone's opinions comes from their own lived experience, or, you know, we all come from different walks of life. We all have different experiences. So whoever's opinion comes from their perspective. Mm. And yeah, it's about learning and being open to talking. And there's so many different topics that we see. Maybe it's about, you know, LGBTQ community or women's rights. I remember when this poor girl, God rest her soul, Sarah Everett, who went missing. And that sort of sparked a lot of conversation on social media and Twitter. And that was a triggering thing for all women. Yeah.
All women.
I think, I don't know, for some reason, I mean, you hear about
just
this
for
all the time,
she was
but for some
home.
Reason, yeah. Yeah, she was walking home.
That's all she did.
Yeah. Literally, that's all she did.
But yeah. I think we should really actually talk about that. I'd love to have somebody on the show next week to discuss that.
Let's get into that in detail, because I think there's a lot of triggering things as women, and this is a female show at the moment, that I think we need to unpack why that experience was so emotive for so many people. Yeah. So let's do that on the next show.
Let's do it on the next show. And I just want to say, welcome back to the Lalas. We're no longer at home and we have another Lala. We have Sarah on the show.
Honorary Lala. Yeah.
And if I can ask a favor, if you've enjoyed the show, maybe you can consider giving us 5 stars and leaving a review and letting us also know if there's anything that you'd like to hear or you'd like to discuss. And we're all ears.
Yes,
thank you for tuning in.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Yes, and you can tweet us on at DJ Lara Fraser, or you can pop on the Instagram as well. I'm at the same. What's yours?
I am at Lara Pradelska on Twitter and at L Pradelska on Instagram.
Oh, and I am at Sarah Malindwa on Twitter and at Sarah.Malindwa on Instagram.
And that wraps up the very first show of the second season of, well, we're no longer at home with the Lalas.
We are what's next
with the Lalas. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.